This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our series called Building Character. In these lessons, Pastor Rick teaches us why it's important for us to mature in our faith. He shows us how to continually grow and develop spiritually so we can become more like Jesus. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help strengthen your prayer life. It's the redesigned Daily Hope Prayer Journal with all new art and graphics for 2020. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Building Character at Work.
Today, I want us to look at how God uses your work to build character, your job, your career. Now, that's important because the fact is you're going to spend approximately 40% of your life at work. In other words, it's your job. That's about 150,000 hours over your lifetime. And surveys show that about a third of all people say, I hate my job. And other surveys show that nearly two-thirds of people are in the wrong job. You may not know this, but you can even like your job and still not be in the job that's best suited for how God shaped you. Even many people who are successful at their work really don't feel fulfilled by their work. They're making money, they have a lot of income, but they don't really feel fulfilled by their work, and they're not really growing spiritually at work. Now, because you're going to spend almost half of your life working, God is deeply interested in your work. Work is a part of God's will for your life. It's part of your calling. And for followers of Jesus, there's no such thing as just a job. God has five purposes for your life here on earth, and your job is one of the places that you can work on and fulfill four of those five purposes. Now, on your outline, I have noted that your job is a place to do four of those five purposes. First, my job is a place to develop and use the talents that God gave me. And when you develop and use the talents God gave you, that's called your ministry. Then your job is a place to honor God by giving him your best, and that's your worship. And then your job is a place to show and tell others about God's love for them. That's called your mission. And then your job is a place to grow in character, Christ-like character. That's your maturity. Now today, I just want to focus on the fourth purpose, work helping you grow to spiritual maturity. Work is an integral part of your spiritual development. You cannot grow to spiritual maturity without work. You can't relax your way into spiritual maturity. Now, each week in this series, we've reminded you that God's number one purpose in your life is for you to grow up spiritually. And our model and character is, of course, Jesus. Notice here on the screen, Romans 8:29. From the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him should become like his son. God's number one purpose in your life is to make you like Jesus, to grow in character. And Ephesians 4:13 there on your outline says this, real maturity is that measure of development which is meant by the fullness of Christ. Spiritual maturity means the more I become like Christ, the more mature I become. Now, how does God use your work? How does God use my work to build my character? Well, he uses many different ways. But this weekend, I want us to just look at three ways. He uses pressure at work, he uses problems at work, and he uses people at work. Are any of you vaguely familiar with these three things? Yes, I'm sure you are. So let's look at it. Three ways God wants you to grow spiritually and become like Christ through your job. First, God uses pressure at work to teach me responsibility. God uses pressure at work to teach me responsibility. Now, every job has its own pressures, and stress can be beneficial if you use it to motivate you to grow. Have you ever had to complete a task that you didn't feel like doing? Yes. Have you ever had to complete a task that you didn't feel competent to do? Yes. Well, you were being responsible even though you didn't feel like doing it. Ephesians 5:15 says this: live life then with a due sense of responsibility. Circle that. We are to live life with a sense of responsibility, not as people who don't know the meaning of life, but as those who do. The more you understand God has a purpose for your life, the more responsible you need to be. You see, work is a school of responsibility where we learn how to be responsible. And of course, that's a big deal because today, responsibility is declining in our society. You don't ever hear anybody talking about their responsibility. You hear everybody talking about my rights. But there are no rights without responsibilities. The courts are clogged by people who say it's not my fault. And if you talk to most psychologists or therapists today, they'll tell you that personal responsibility is the key to mental health. It's one of the big keys. It's also one of the big keys to spiritual growth. It's also one of the keys to career success. We grow by being given responsibility. Responsibility stretches us. Every time you're given a responsibility, it's an opportunity for spiritual and emotional and personal growth. You said, well, give me some examples, all right? Let me give you three or four ways to develop responsibility at work. This is how you grow in Christ-like character because Christ was responsible. How do I grow in responsibility? Well, number one, here, write this down, by keeping my promises. When you make a promise at work, you need to keep that promise at work. Psalm 15, verse 4 says this, that God blesses the one who always does what he promises, no matter how much it may cost. Is your word good? Are you a person of responsibility that people know that when you say it, it's going to be done? Do you keep your promises? That's a mark of responsibility. Let me give you another one. By meeting deadlines. By meeting deadlines, you grow in responsibility. Proverbs 18, verse 9. One who is slack in his work is a brother to the one who destroys. That word there in Hebrew is actually the word saboteur, like somebody who sabotaged something. And the Bible says that when you waste your employer's time at work, you're like a saboteur. You're sabotaging the business. You're sabotaging the company. You're destroying the business every time you waste time. And so meeting deadlines is another way of showing responsibility. Let me give you a third one. Ephesians 6 tells us that we show responsibility by working without supervision. By working without supervision. Ephesians 6, 6 and 7 says this, don't work hard only when your master is watching. In other words, the boss is in town. Work hard all the time as though working for Christ. Now notice there, he switches from saying, I'm working for my boss to say, I'm actually working for my real boss, Christ. And he says, whether my boss is in the office or not, whether my supervisor's checking up on me or not, Christians should be known to not need a supervisor because they work on their own initiative. They give their best without having to be supervised because they're doing it for God. They have character and they're responsible and they do their best work because they realize that God is their ultimate boss. Luke 16, verse 10, Jesus said this, unless you're faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. And if you cheat even a little, then you won't be honest in greater responsibilities. Now, he's talking here specifically about the responsibility of being honest, of having integrity. This verse makes me think about a guy in our church who once told me about a customer who asked him to do a dishonest favor, and the customer justified it by saying, it's okay, buddy, your boss is out. But this Christian guy in our church replied, well, my real boss is never out. And that's a good thing, okay? That's the mentality of saying, I'm not working for my boss. I'm working for my Savior. I'm working for God. Who do you work for? Makes a big difference in if you're responsible or irresponsible. If you think you're just working for the government, you might be irresponsible. If you think you're working for a boss you don't respect, you might be irresponsible. But if you realize you're really working for God, then it's a matter of stewardship. Let me give you a fourth way to show responsibility. By controlling costs. By controlling costs. Did you know the Bible has something to say about this? Luke 16, verse 11 and 12 says this, if you're untrustworthy and most unreliable about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's money, why should you be entrusted with money of your own? You know, I was thinking as I read that verse just now, some employees spend their company's money, you'd think they were the government, that there's an unlimited budget. This verse tells us that God says the greatest test of your character is how you handle money. Do you manage it well? Do you act as if somebody else's business is your business? Do you accept ownership even though it's not yours? You see, God is watching, and God says, I will determine how much I bless your life on how faithful you are with somebody else's money. So let me ask you, how would you rate yourself on being responsible at work? How would you rate yourself with your own finances? Do either of those show that God can trust you with greater blessings? So the first thing God wants to do with our work is teach us responsibility. Teach us how to be responsible. Let me give you a second way God wants to use your job to help you grow. A second way God wants to help you grow spiritually is this. God uses problems at work to teach me character. He uses pressure to teach me responsibility. He uses problems to teach me character. Now, there are no problem-free jobs. And every job has its own unique problems. And God wants to use those problems to build your character. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says this, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they're good for us, that they help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character. I want you to circle strength of character. You've heard me say before that God is far more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. He's far more interested in perfecting you than he is in pampering you. God's goal in your life and in your job, in your work, is not to make you comfortable. God's goal in your life is to make you grow up. And he uses problems in your life to teach you character. Whenever you've got a problem at work, you need to ask not why am I having this problem? Why is this happening to me? You need to ask what. Don't ask why, ask what. Ask, what do you want me to learn from this, God? What are you trying to teach me? What's the character problem in my life? What's my blind spot? What do you want me to work through in this difficulty that it's revealing? What value, what attitude, what action, what responsibility needs to be focused on? What character issue in my life needs to be worked on? When you so allowed this problem in my life, so what do you want me to work on? You see, remember this simple truth. While you're working on your job, God is working on you. And God, did you know that God can even use temptation, the temptations that you face at work? Many believers say, you know, I don't really like working with unbelievers because I get tempted all the time. Well, you're going to get tempted with believers as much as with unbelievers. And it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted. You're going to be tempted the rest of life, no matter where you work. And so it's a myth that if I just get around Christians, I won't be tempted by a lot of stuff. Jesus, the Bible says, was tempted in every way like as we, yet he never sinned. He never gave in. So it's not a sin to be tempted because Jesus never sinned, but he was tempted. Did you know that God can even use the temptations in your life for good? He can even use those temptations to build character because temptation is simply a choice. I can choose to do good or I can choose to do bad. Every time I choose to do bad, temptation harms me. Every time I choose to do good, temptation becomes a stepping stone for growth. You see, you can't justly, truly say, I'm an honest person unless you've ever been tempted to be dishonest. You can't say I'm a fair person unless you've ever been tempted and had the opportunity and the choice to be unfair. You can't say I'm a responsible person unless you've ever had the choice or opportunity or temptation to be irresponsible. Every temptation that comes into your life, listen, is an opportunity for growth. Every temptation is an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to change your character, to build it, to develop strength of character. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a wonderful promise. Remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. In other words, we all are tempted in the same way. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. And when you're tempted, he will show you a way out so you will not give in to it. When you say it was too strong, I couldn't handle it, you're lying. Because God says, I will never allow more on you than I put in you to bear it up. Now, the reality is that sometimes problems at work are just overwhelming. And you feel like you're going under. And you feel like you're about to be swallowed up. What do you do then? What do you do when you're overwhelmed? Well, you do what Paul did when he was overwhelmed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul says this, I think you ought to know about the hard times we went through in Asia. These are times he was overwhelmed. He said, we were really crushed and overwhelmed, and we fear we would never live through it. We saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. He said, we are down, down, doobie-doo, down, down. We're powerless. We're overwhelmed. And he said, but even that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God alone, who alone could save us, and he did help us. Now listen very closely. When you're in a problem at work that is so overwhelming, you think, I'm going under with this. I'm not going to survive this. You do two things. First, like Paul, you turn the problem over to God through prayer. Say, God, like Paul says, I'm overwhelmed, I'm helpless, I'm confused, I feel like I'm not going to make it through. You cry out to God. You turn the problem over to God through prayer. That's the first thing you do.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Pastor Rick has a powerful way to re-energize your prayer life. It's called the Daily Hope Prayer Journal. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Do you ever feel like your prayers get stuck in a rut? Would you like to know what God told me to do when my prayer life got stuck in a rut? It was a time when I just felt like I was praying the same thing over and over and over. In fact, I was beginning to wonder if God was even answering my prayers or even listening. Maybe you felt that way sometimes, or maybe you feel that way right now. So what did God tell me to do? Well, here's what he told me. It was such a powerful way to re-energize my prayer life, and it was so simple that I want to pass it on to you. God told me to do this. He said, Rick, start writing down what you're saying to me, and then I want you to write down what I say to you. Write down what you say to me, and then write down what I say to you. You see, it's really not that complicated. God just said I should start by writing down what I'm feeling, and then I should write down what he tells me after I've read his word. It's really just a form of journaling. And spiritual journaling is a spiritual habit that will help your prayer stay fresh and effective. If you've never tried it, I'm begging you, try this for a week or two and see if it doesn't reinvigorate your prayer life. Journaling has many, many benefits to your spiritual life. It'll help you stay consistent in your prayers. It'll give you a permanent reminder of how God answers your prayers because you've written them down. It shows how God is working in your life. You can go back and review it. It'll even help you worship God more and more as you speak to him. God speaks to people who care enough to write it down. So write down what God tells you, but you've got to have a place to do that. Now, I want to encourage you, and I want to help you take this simple step of learning this new spiritual habit in your prayers, of writing down your prayers and writing down your prayer requests. So what I did is I had my Daily Hope team create a brand new spiritual prayer journal. It's got a real simple to follow format that'll help you put into practice God's wisdom that is found in Philippians 4:6. That says this, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Those four things are part of the format of our prayer journal for this year. It's really cool. You're going to love this tool.
There are only 2 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait. Just go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.